I want you to turn with me in just a moment to a passage of Scripture that is going to help us to understand something about the resurrection. I don't suppose that you would be in a church like this on a day like today if there wasn't a pretty good possibility that you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So, in praying about what message to preach this morning, it really didn't come across my mind to preach proofs of the resurrection. I've done that before. Or the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord seemed to impress upon my mind is, what did the resurrection do for you? So we're going to look at a verse of Scripture that explains that the resurrection is actually very beneficial for us. And then with our Bibles open, we're going to look at three other passages to see exactly why the resurrection is so meaningful to us that are here today. Practically meaningful to us. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful now to be able to bow before you. I'm asking you, please, in your name's, your Son's precious name, to help me. There's something that you want to say to us, and in order to say it, you have to speak through a vessel, and the vessel is what it is, a sinner for whom you had to die. The old man is corrupt. But because of your salvation, Father, and the renewing of my mind, there is a new man in here that you can use to speak to us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that has done and what that is doing for us. And I'm very thankful to have that opportunity today. Father, I'm praying that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit to get that job done and then fill us all, Father, because I'm a recipient of the things that we're saying here today. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit that we may receive these things. And my heart's desire, Father, is that your saints will be encouraged and edified by what you say today through your words, and then we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work with great liberty, that if there is anybody among us today who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she will humbly consider that today is the day of salvation and that they will trust your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, you're going to see a verse of Scripture about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it evident that the resurrection is beneficial to us in a very practical way. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look with me at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That we have a lively hope because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. In our text, because of his resurrection, there is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has done something, not only in giving us hope that when he died for our sins and was buried, he rose again, proving that the eternal life he offers us is a life that we can possess because he has given us life, but it also gives us hope. There's hope because there's something that happened in him, and he talks about an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. How many of you that are saved here today have heard that because you're saved now, when you die, you'll go to heaven? How many of you have heard that? See, all over the building. That's such a common thing, even to people that don't know Jesus Christ. We'll talk to them and say that, you know, if you'll trust Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven when you die. And often a question is asked, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And those questions that are posed and that comment that I made that you raised your hand about has to do with being in heaven when you die. But I want you to see something in your Bible today that Jesus Christ accomplished by His resurrection that was imparted to you the day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's leave this text, which tells us that we have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. What does the resurrection give us? What is that lively hope? And the first thing we'd like to say, of the three things we're going to say this morning, is found in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 6, but we'll read into verse 6 from verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see what you just read there? Do you comprehend what Paul wrote, that when you are saved by the grace of God, you don't wait till you die to get to heaven? I'll explain that in a little more detail, but what did he say? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I remember years ago teaching on this passage of Scripture, and Miss Irene was here, and she knows English very well, and she said, that is the present perfect, which means it's completed, but it continues to go on. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me help you to understand this. In this room right now, most of the people that are here have already trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're saved. Thank God for that. But it's possible that you're here today and you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know about salvation. You know a little bit of, maybe even more than a little bit about the Bible. But for some reason, you haven't yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and the third day He rose again. And when He rose from the dead, it was a shock even to the people that He had told that He was going to rise, because they'd never seen anything quite like this. They had seen Jesus Christ raise up a widow's son and Lazarus, of course, but in time they all die. He rose up to never die again. There was a composition change in that resurrected body where there was no death in it. He's alive right now and He'll never die again. And they saw that, and that was like, whoa, man, we've never seen anything like this before. One of the reasons He did that is to prove to you that when He offers you eternal life as a result of your salvation, you know that you'll be alive because He's alive right now. You'll enjoy the eternal life He now possesses. And I'm going to tell you something. That is miraculous. Oh, there are people that say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you and the Lord can sort that out. But I will tell you, among other people that witnessed His resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that Jesus Christ appeared to above 500 witnesses at one time. You only need two eyewitnesses to substantiate an eyewitness account in the court of law. And most of those people who were eyewitnesses when Paul wrote that were alive at the time that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and said that he had appeared to above 500 witnesses at one time. And you know why he gave us that bit of information that they were still alive? Because he's saying, if you don't believe me, you can ask them. They've seen him. Paul had seen him. Peter had seen him. All the disciples had seen him. Mary Magdalene had seen him. Those ladies that were there, they all saw him. So he's up. You say, I'm struggling with that. Then you're going to struggle with a lot of eyewitness accounts then. He saw him. And then he ascended up into heaven. And the beautiful thing is, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, like so many of us have already done, the Lord says, you're not waiting for death to be seated with me in heavenly places. Because when you got saved, you were put into Christ. You say, I'm still having a hard time with the concept. Oh, some of you have seen me do this before, but Ricky, you're back there with not these lights, but those lights right there, the three switches that are in the sound booth. Just hit those real quick. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, there you go. What? That guy's sitting in the sound booth with some buttons on a wall and simply putting those buttons, which is such a common thing because you all do it, just changed the lighting in this room. How did that happen? Anybody want to venture a guess? How'd that happen? They are. It's a good thing in church we have preachers. Because somebody's got to do some talking. They're connected. They're connected. Go ahead and flip them back on. And if you go over there and look at those switches, you can't see the connection. Because the connection is behind the wall and up in the ceiling. But sure enough, it works. The switches are down here. The lights are above your head. You are down here. Jesus is above your head. But you are connected. That by a wire, and you and I by the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is beneficial for us today because you have victory over hell. You can't go there. You say, why? I'm already in heaven. You know, people today that have certain religions that don't believe that once you're saved, you can remain saved, but you got to live. Listen, I believe that you need to be sanctified. I believe you need to be consecrated. I believe you need to live a holy life. But I'm telling you what, I don't believe that I need to wave you over the fires of hell in order to convince you to live holy. Why? Because you can't go there. You say, why can't I go there? You're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He puts you there, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sealed you, and nobody can break that seal. You're there. You say, well, I don't know if I've ever heard that. There are many other passages, but I'll tell you. When you hear somebody talking about the subject of eternal security, I say the passage you just read is one of the greatest passages on that subject in the entire Bible. God doesn't kick people out of the place He died to put you. If there was some probationary period that you had to be more righteous than you were the day you got saved and more righteous than you were yesterday and keep going that way or I'm going to throw you in hell, that's not what you call eternal life. That's like maybe eternal life. Right? And I don't mean to stir up in your mind, if you didn't believe in eternal security, some debate in your mind that, well, when we get done with this, I'm going to see him in the foyer and I'm going to show him this verse of Scripture. Yeah, well, I don't want to see it. You say, why? I've already looked at him. We've been down this road many, many times. The verse I want you to see that you haven't looked at is the one that's in front of you. When people get in arguments about this, you show them a verse of Scripture and they go immediately like, yeah, well, what about that one? Well, wait a minute. What about the one we're looking at? Look at that one. Oh, okay. What does it say? Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know where you are if you've trusted Jesus Christ? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which means you currently, at the moment, sitting here now, have victory over hell. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. It is nice to go to sleep at night and not wonder about, what if I have a bad dream? Will he judge me to hell or judge me to hell? I don't want to live a life like that of anxiety, do you? And you don't have to because of what he said. The resurrection is beneficial for us today because God has given you victory over hell. Then why do you say when you die that you go to heaven? I mean, why did you even ask that question? Are you sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Because You are a composite being of more than just a body. And I'm thanking God for that right now. Because the older I get, right, Brother Donnie? People call me today and say, how you doing? Oh, and I just answer, older and uglier. How you? Wearing out. No, I've got a body, but I also have a spirit and a soul. And there is a regenerating work of the Spirit of God that takes place inside of you when you get saved. There's a life inside of you that wasn't there the day before you got saved. And after you get saved, that life of Christ is in you. And so truly what happens, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, when I die, this body will still be here. But this spirit and the soul that are inside of here, we're out of here, baby. From the day I got saved, they've been wanting to get out of this trap. Really? And the day I die, the last breath I breathe on this earth, they are out of here. The Bible says, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Why? I'm already there. It's like you've caught a fish that you've been playing on drag and he finally got wore out and then, and he's in the boat. That's right. And I'm telling you, that day is coming and that day can't get here soon enough. You say, well, what if Jesus comes before we die? Then we get out of here without dying. I'll take that. How about y'all? I was talking to a fellow the other day and he said to me, I'm not afraid of death. And neither am I. He said it's the dying part that I don't want. That's true. Yeah, that's true. I don't want the dying part. I'll take the death. Anyway, we could go on about that. All of us know somebody whose death took a long time to accomplish through dying and they finally died and we all say, oh, I'm so relieved they don't have to suffer anymore. And then we've known other people that went to sleep and didn't wake up. And you have said, and so have I sure hope that'll happen to me one day. I'll just fall asleep and I don't wake up. I'll wake up in heaven. That's good for you. It's not usually very good for the family. Takes them a little bit to get over that. But no matter how you go, your last breath here, pew, you gone. You know, my mother-in-law, when I left the banking business to go into the ministry, she and her husband did not like this at all. I was a banker. I was president of a bank, and they were proud of their son-in-law and their grandkids. When I became a pastor in a Baptist church, of all things, they weren't proud of me anymore. While I was in Bible college, one day they came to visit. They came several times, thankfully, and they came several times to visit us. And one time they were there, and the pastor was preaching a fabulous salvation message. And at the end, he pressed an invitation. If anybody will go with Jesus Christ, raise your hand. I was sitting right next to my mother-in-law, and I saw her hands. You know what I'm talking about? Like that. And he never pressed an invitation. He'd offer one invitation. If you receive Christ, boom, let's get saved. You don't have, we're closing it down. I'll see you tonight. But he asked again. He asked three times. And the third time he asked, I'm telling you, she broke those hands apart. And her old hand went up like that. I'll take him. You know, that changed her attitude about her son-in-law, but it really changed her attitude about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it changed her destination. And it changed, now we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, well, are you sure she got saved? Well, she likes garage sales. That didn't change after she got saved. But I'll tell you what did. You know, there's all kind of stuff you pick up. And she found a piece of, I guess you call it driftwood, that somebody had painted. And the painting was a pair of feet sticking out under a cloud. And the saying said, when he comes, I'm out of here. I showed it to Anna. I said, I think he got a hold of her. You know one thing I never have to worry about? I'll never have to worry about whether my mother-in-law will be in hell or in heaven, because she's already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I'm happy about that. And that's where you can be seated. And then when you pass, everybody will say, and can say truly, he or she is in a better place now Because going up is the way you want to go. You do not want to go. Anybody fill in the blank? You guys are having a hard time here today. Down. You know, whenever you're having this conversation with people and they say, well, you know, and they're not saved and they finally realize they're not saved and say, if you were to die tonight, right now, where would you go? And they go, they're not going to say it. You know, when they were kids, they didn't hesitate to tell somebody to go to hell. But now it's about them and it's like, and so I just say, well, if you don't want to, would you like to go? And they're like, yes, I would. Okay, well, then perhaps you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I really would. You know, hell becomes very real when it becomes personal. And I just want you to know there, most of us here today have victory over hell. And if you would like to join us and be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, why don't you trust Him today and take care of that problem once and for all? That's a lively hope right there. But that's not all. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You say, well, that took care of that, but does it have it? Is there any other benefit to the resurrection? I'm going to tell you a great one I wish I had learned a week after I got saved. I didn't learn it till many years later, or a long time later, let's put it that way. Now, bear with me. Let's read together Romans chapter 6. We're going to read a bit. And in Romans chapter 6, please understand something. You are going to read the word baptism, okay? And I don't want you to confuse the word that you're reading with what that is over there. That's a baptistry over there. And just recently, we've had several baptisms. And that's a joyful occasion, by the way. That's water baptism. And what that does, that pictures what you're reading here. Okay? In other words, you got to have what you're reading here before that makes any sense to you. Okay, that is an outward expression of what the Holy Spirit is doing inside, and what the Holy Spirit does inside is called baptism. And that baptism actually puts you into Jesus Christ Himself. Watch what you read. Verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Once again, I'd like to say, if I baptize you in that water, you've been baptized in water. This is baptism into Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit does. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our, what are the next two words? Oh man, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, count it to be so in your own life, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me give you a picture. Here I am bebopping through life like you were, and somebody comes and talks to me about salvation like I have just with you, and you're like, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit then baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. Well, that body of Jesus Christ died on a cross one time, was buried one time, and rose from the dead one time. And so you, being in that body, actually can experience the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life because you're in that body that died and rose again. Do you follow? Do you follow? And it's eternal, so you're joined into that. So here I'm at, and then that day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, what I didn't know, but what I'm telling you now, and you see for yourself in the Scripture, is that doctrinally, practically, what happened in God's eyes is I died with Christ, and I was buried with Christ. So here I am. You say, that's why I've always said the Christian life looks so dull. But Jesus rose from the dead. my old man is here, buried with him, but my new man rises to walk in newness of life, and now I can walk in a way and in a mind and in a practical sense as a new man and not have to do anything that the old man did before because he's dead and I'm alive in Christ. Now, if you're 30 or so years old when you get saved, you have 30 years of experience living after the desires, demands, lusts, and appetites, and opinions, and ambitions of that old man. Suddenly, doctrinally, in the eyes of the Lord, he has died with Christ, and you're risen to walk. The first day of your salvation, you've had one day. He's had 30 years. Which one of those two guys do you think is going to dominate in your life? The guy that's been crucified with Christ. Because you know what? He's still around. You say, how do you know? I talked to him this morning. He's such a rascal. He really is. So Paul said, in order for you to be able to handle this stuff going on with sin in your life, Paul said it this way, I die daily. Every day, Paul said, I get up and I go back to that cross and make sure that old man is crucified with Christ. But I've learned something, and you have too, probably. You have some sins in your life that are still kicking you pretty good. Since you're not talking, you can at least give me a head nod. Yeah. You got some sins in your life still kicking you pretty good. And so do I. All right? Because this guy is still around here. And I've learned something. If you take something away from the old man and don't replace it, that is like taking away a bone from a dog. I try to take the dog away from the bone, but you're just in a big old wrestling match. I've learned this. If you deny the old man something, you replace it with something good in the new man. You fill the void. That's why the Lord said here, dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. He says, get that guy dead every day, and then you get up and go do something that the new man likes to do that the old man doesn't like to do. And you know something? The more you deny that old man and the more you live in the new man, you find out a number of things. The first thing you find out is those sins in my life don't have to rule over me. Look at the next verse. Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed, verse 11, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You know what you get with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Victory over sin. That's what you get. Victory over sin. But you got to do it the way the Holy Spirit did it in your life. You come back and die to the old man again and then trust the Spirit of God through the Word of God to lead you in the steps of the new man as you walk in newness of life. Some of us in here have been saved a long, long time now. The old man is still there. We still have to make sure he's crucified. But there are a lot of things that guy used to do we don't even think about doing anymore. Why? Because we've lived in a new man so long and have loved so much more what God has done for us, we wouldn't even think about going back to some of that stuff again. You understand? And you know why most people get frustrated with religion and you have a conversation about salvation like we're having today? And you know why people get frustrated with religion? Because what they have seen is a lot of people who say they've trusted Christ trying to live the Christian life in the old man's body. And you can't do it. Can't do it. And they say, he's a hypocrite. Of course he's a hypocrite because he's pretending to be like the new man. But he's not the new man. He's an imposter. And it comes out after a period of time. Right? So you just kill him. You know, my old man is so full of holes. Boom. Truthfully, promise you, I mean this with everything I can put behind it to validate what I'm saying is true. I hate my old man's attitude. I hate his thoughts. I hate his lust. I hate his desires. I hate his opinions. I hate his ambitions. I hate his words. There's not one thing about my old man that I like. Not one. You say, I don't believe that. Jesus Christ said, if you don't hate your own life also, you can't be my disciple. You're supposed to hate that stuff. Why? Because he's wicked. He's corrupt. The only time that I can get this guy to even be somewhat acceptable is give him a good shower, put on plenty of aftershave, right? Dress him up nice like I am today. Several of you have complimented my wife's choice. Don't let this fool you. Don't let this fool you. I even comb my hair. And that's a trick these days. Don't let this fool you. This guy is a stinker. And the best place for him is on the cross of Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm telling you what, you are missing out on everything if you're not walking in the victory over sin by walking in the newness of life because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's the secret right there. And you've got that. You see, you've heard me say it a bunch of times, and you're going to hear me say it again. You don't have to wait till you die to start enjoying the benefits of eternal life. It's all right now. I love the new man. He thinks right. He talks right. He is right. His opinions are right. His desires are right. His submission is right. His will is right. Everything about the new man is spectacular. It's all the old man wanted to be and never could be. And I'm like, leave him alone. Let him die. Boom, get out of here. He raised up his ugly head the other day, and I was like, would you just, you know, get in that coffin and stay there. Lock it. But we live in it, don't we? Walk in newness of life because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only way to live. The only way. Resurrection gives us victory over hell. Resurrection gives us victory over sin. See, I'm not sure if I believe that. Why don't you put to test what you've heard today and watch God begin to change your life? You will like the end result, I promise you. You will love it. Absolutely. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and I'll show you. I told you there'd be three. Here's the third one. Are there more? Undoubtedly, but these are three stellar ones that we should know today. The resurrection gives us victory over hell. The resurrection gives us victory over sin. And the resurrection gives us victory over the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in, what's the next word? Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You got victory over the grave. Victory over hell the day you get saved. Victory over sin through your entire life. And victory over the grave at the end. Do you see? The resurrection of Jesus Christ affects the entire span of your life from the moment you get saved to the moment you enter glory in a glorified body. Here's what's happening. He says this corruption must put on incorruption. Any of you have loved ones that are already departed and either their ashes or their coffin are here with their remains that and they were saved? Anybody? Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 15, 100. A bunch of you. I do too. They are corruption. If they were cremated, well, there it is. It's just the remains of what we call their ashes. And if they were buried and you were to open the tomb, we don't go there. Okay? Corruption. The mortal that you read about, that's all of us right here. The mortal are those that are alive, right? Right now. We don't have immortality. These bodies are going to die. So corruption, that's already in the grave, needs to put on incorruption. And mortal, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return right now, needs to put on immortality in order to continue to live in a body forever. And when that happens, death is swallowed up in victory, and the grave is swallowed up in victory. And you live forever. And this time, not in a body that does what these bodies are doing, but in a glorified body. The Bible tells us that He will change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body, and we'll be with Him forever. You're going to look like Christ. And that comes when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In other words, Jesus, those of you who have studied your Bible and know a little bit about what's coming, you already know nothing else needs to happen now before the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the rapture. Do you know that? He's going to come whenever He's going to come, but His return is imminent. We're not waiting on some other thing except for His timing. We're waiting on the shout. We're waiting on the trump. We're waiting on the arrival of our Savior. Okay? So nothing else happens to happen. So right now, while I'm in the middle of this sermon, if Jesus wanted to, and if it was on His time and the Father's time, boom! And if He were to come right now, every person in here who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior will, boom! These bodies will change. Jesus Christ's body changed in such a way that when the disciples were all inside of a sealed room, windows shut, doors shut and locked, He passed right through the wall. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but a glorified body can. All you would see in every seat where there is somebody who is saved, if you were still here and we leave, is a blood-stained chair and carpet. And some clothes. We'd be out of here in glorified bodies, robed in fine linen, clean and white. And if you're not saved, you'd still be here. And at that moment, you'd go, oh, I should have believed what he said. Why would you wait till then? You know, I can't believe the things any more certainly than I believe them right now by being an eyewitness. Faith allows you to see things that you can't see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. If you want victory over the grave, people have been in hospitals before and they're dying and they weren't saved. They're like, you know what? I don't have anything in me that gives me the assurance that when this body dies, I'm going to be with the Lord. And they get saved. And I'm going to tell you something. When they're laid to rest, Jesus Christ is going to come. Their graves will break wide open. They're out of there. Gone. All that's left is the urn or the casket or whatever they were robed in. That body's gone in a glorified body to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a victory. I've been at six funerals this year already and preached in five of them. It is such a blessing at the graveside of a saved person to be able to touch that casket, hovering over that hole where that casket will be deposited, and say to that grave, you're a loser. Loser. You don't win. This is temporary. You're going to get up from that nap, fly into heaven. That casket's busting open. There'll be a hole in the ground and there won't be anybody there. You lose. That's a comforting thing. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what? I am ready to go. Ready. You say, don't you want to see? Yeah. Naturally, the grandkids grow up? Sure. But you know who I'd rather see? Jesus Christ. You know what I'd rather have? A glorified body. And I don't have to worry about the timing. The timing is in His hand. I know this. When that shout comes, my name will be called. When that trumpet sound, I'm out of here. And I'm flying with all of you here that are saved today. That's victory over the grave. Listen, if the Lord should tarry, and that's up to Him what His time is, so there are more of us that are in here that are going to pass away. Don't be too sad. The grief is natural, but don't be too sad, because it'll just be a little while and we're all going to be reunited again. Amen, boy. So I want to say something to you today. I hope you're encouraged. If you're saved here today, you have victory over hell. You have the opportunity for victory over sin. And you have victory over the grave because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite a package. If you're not saved today, then you're going to be stuck down here in that body. And if you don't get saved, you're on your way to hell. There's no easy way to package that statement to make it more palatable. Hell is a horrible place. And without Christ, that's where you go. You say, yeah, but I don't think it's right of God to just don't get in an argument with God. You lose every time. He made a provision so you don't have to go there. Just take the provision. If you're not saved here today, you have sin that you will deal with that will reign in your mortal body, and you can't overcome it because it's more powerful than you are, unless you have the resurrected life of Jesus Christ in you. And then you can walk in newness of life. And if you're not saved, when Jesus returns, if you're not saved, if you don't get saved in your lifetime here, your body is worm food forever. There's no palatable way to package that. They put flowers in the graveyard, they mow the grass, they keep the trees trimmed, and when you go to the funeral home, they have nice smells there and very beautiful caskets and all that other kind of stuff. Death is a horrible thing. Corruption is a horrible thing. Worm food. Choice between being a child of God and a glorified body and worm food. Is that a hard choice? Not for me. Heaven, hell, that's not a hard choice. Victory over sin or submission to sin dominating into my body, that's not a hard choice. But some people somehow or another make it a hard choice. When you look at it from the standpoint of the resurrection, it's pretty easy from what I can tell. You would do well to be saved to death today by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. It's not about plastic eggs, golden eggs, and bunnies. Okay? It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the practical application of what He's done in your life. It will change your life forever, starting right now, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a pretty good deal. So for those of us who are saved, I pray you've been encouraged. You probably learned something today that's going to really help you enjoy the Christian life you have more today than you did in the past if you didn't know some of the stuff you heard today. And I pray you will live it out just the way God intended. But if you're not saved here today, you're challenged with a choice. To do nothing is a choice. To reject Jesus Christ. To do nothing is a choice. To receive Jesus Christ is to change your life forever. My question to you is, what will you do? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Move through here in the power of your Holy Spirit in a way that only you can do. There are people here that are saved, that learned something today like I learned, and it's going to help them from now till Jesus comes. Thank you for that. There are also people here today, probably, Father, just knowing the size of the congregation that's here today and the choice that we often make to be here on this day, people that hadn't gotten saved yet. And your Holy Spirit is dealing with them. I don't want to provide any pressure. I just want to tell them the truth and let your Holy Spirit do that. Work with the truth. Now, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I have a question for you. How many of you that are sitting here right now, listen carefully to my question, how many that are sitting here right now, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know you're saved? Raise your hand right now. Just raise it up. Okay, slip it right back down. Of course, there's hands all over the place, and thank God for that. If you couldn't raise your hand, number one, you're a very honest person. You're lost, but you're honest because you did not try to fake out the person that was sitting next to you that you're saved when you're not. If you did try to fake them out, it's not going to do you any good because they're not the judge. But I'm going to say this. If you couldn't raise your hand, or if you did and you shouldn't have, let me ask you this. How many of the sitting here today? It's a very serious question. It's between you and God, but I'm His ambassador, so I'm going to ask you. How many sitting here today would raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved today"? Raise your hand. If you have the courage to say, "Preacher, this day, I want victory over hell and victory over sin and victory over the grave. I want to be saved." Did I see a hand over there? If you raised your hand, would you raise it back up just so I can see? Okay, I see your hand. Thank you. It's hard sometimes to see with people that are sitting in front of you. Now, if you're here with your family and your family knows Christ, please tell them when we're finished here, "Mom, Dad, brother, sister, whatever, I'm one of those that raised my hand." And parents, if you're comfortable, and I hope you are, talking to your own children about salvation, I want you to deal with your family. Nothing greater than you being there the day your child gets saved. And one young man raised his hand. "Please, young man, tell your family, I was that young man he was talking about. Please help me to know how to be saved." Family, if you need help, I'm here for you. But I would not spoil this great opportunity for you to be with your child when he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. That was a young man, but I thought I saw, please just bear with me one minute, I thought I saw one other person raise your hand. And if you did, would you just slip it up real quick one more time so I can see? I want to be here for you and talk that way. If you need somebody to visit with, man or woman, you can talk to us about the Lord. Okay? All right. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful opportunity to preach the lovely, wonderful words of God. I pray that you will encourage us all with what we've heard. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.